Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. We have the whole band back together tonight, which is a great thing. So our introductions are as such. Behind me, trying to keep track of all the crazy stuff that we say, as again, we say he's not trying to keep us in line. Tuna pointed out a while ago that was a futile effort, but he is Mr. Electricity. Whiteboard Jody.
Yeah, back in his original seat.
Well, we were waiting for the arm wrestling match that I referred to last week, but apparently, you guys were both too tired.
Yeah, we're old and tired, man. We can't just be arm wrestling out of nowhere.
We couldn't make it to the podium.
Yeah, what was that? Like, just throw pennies up against the wall, and the closest one wins. I feel like that's the safest bet.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table, after a week's hiatus, he was on assignment last week, but he is back and better than ever. He is the big fella, the Tuna. Country Matt Kempf. Welcome back, Tuna.
Thanks, man. I'm just trying to get this microphone straightened out. It seems to be fighting against me. I don't know what Mr. Electricity did to this thing over here, but this is why you can't leave stuff. Anyway.
And bellied up to the bar is the new national spokesman for Thousand Island Dressing. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
It's a little pink. Tastes like
mayonnaise?
Well, no, it tastes like, what's the stuff you put on your fish? Tartar sauce. It's like a tartar sauce with sriracha.
I think the last time, like, all right, if anyone knows anyone that puts Thousand Island on a salad or has Thousand Island with anything other than a Big Mac,
send that over to us.
Tweet the show.
Yeah, send that over to us.
I don't even think that's a thing.
Just we were, especially when you drink it down with a good cold yellow neon Mountain Dew.
Is it Mountain Dew or is it Mellow Yellow?
Oh, Mellow Yellow too.
Yeah. we're gonna add a bottle of Thousand Island up there next to the tuna.
Yeah.
Oh, tuna helper with Thousand Island.
It's like that lady in the office. She's got all the troll dolls in her cubicle.
Yeah. That sounds pretty.
You know,
bad.
When I order a Big Mac, I get it no sauce.
Really? How do you get it no sauce? It's like that's the.
I just say a Big Mac, no sauce.
So you just get a dry ass burger.
No, I get
some
the cheese. I get the lettuce, the pickle onion on there.
Do you
there
put anything else on there?
Just no sauce.
Huh.
That's how I would order it.
And
too.
When I get home, I put another slice of cheese on it and a little salt.
Can I tell you guys something?
What? You've never had one.
In my lifetime.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, I have never had a Big Mac.
No way. Sesame seed bun.
Ever. Never, yeah. Ever, ever.
Well, I'll be honest with you, you're not missing much.
I am a...
I love it. I think it's great.
When I was a McDonald's guy, and admittedly, I don't do a lot of fast food anymore, but when I was a McDonald's guy, I was a strict quarter pounder with cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a good...
I was quarter pounder with cheese every single time.
The quarter pounder is great right now.
The daily double is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I like that one, too.
There was a time where they had the quarter pounder Big Mac, where it was like two quarter pounder patties, like it was like a big, 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 Big Mac.
Oh, was there a donut on there? No, that's the fare.
Yeah. Jesus, that must have single-handedly led to the obesity epidemic.
What
in this
the hell?
Well, they might have got sued not long after that for the supersizing thing.
Hey,
remember that lawsuit?
I do. Yeah. I do.
Mellow Yellow to go.
It's like they're
that
making me get large fries and a large drink because
it's
so
cheap.
You got
to take out a loan to buy the thing.
What's
you
the
leave
daily double?
I don't know. That's like a
it's
a horse
two
track
patties, but it's got a piece of tomato on there. It's real fresh.
Okay.
McDonald's is known
fresh
for their fresh tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
As fresh as they can be. It's good. It's I like it. Travis likes it. It's all that matters.
I do. I want to remind everybody, we are on social media, on Twitter, at Blockout Pod. Type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search engine. As I mentioned right off the top, we are a complete group again tonight. Tuna is back. We're all very thankful for that. Tuna, I wanted to ask you, did you have a chance to listen to last week's show? And if you did, any thoughts you might have had?
Well, you know what, Travis Carter, thank you for asking me. And I did. And I have a few notes that I would like to bring up.
I can't wait for this.
If you need to go to the fridge, go now.
Well, for one, we'll start off simple. It's no, this is bad. This was just like a discussion about the guy that got banned for life from the NBA. And you guys were talking about the weird dichotomy now between sports franchises and sports books.
Right.
I'd like to say I think that sports gambling being as big as it is now and being as intertwined to the sport as it is now is actually better for the sport because it's easier to find these mishaps and these, like, it's easier to find foul play because everything is so regulated.
It's above board now.
Yes.
Right.
Like before
that makes sense.
It went, before gambling got legal, I mean, NBA still had the major scandal with the basketball referees fixing it.
Tim
Pete
Donaghy.
Rose was betting on games.
Right.
And that wasn't just Tim Donaghy. He was kind of the fall guy. If you read into that,
right.
There was
right.
a ton of guys like involved in that. It was a big black eye for the NBA. I think now, I can't speak for the college level, but I still think, like, I mean, you can look at the guy at Alabama, the baseball coach that got fired because they spotted that real quick. I think anytime there's foul play, it's easier to snort or sniff out now. So that's all I got on that front. Second is when Freddie was talking about Mark Pope's introductory press conference, said it was more like a pep rally.
Yes.
And he said,
well, it was a pep rally.
Well, yeah. And he said that Louisville didn't do that and that Louisville was a top 10 program. And they didn't do it. And Jody immediately said that Louisville is not a top 10 program.
They both did. I listened to it today.
I would like to hear your thoughts on why we're not a top 10 program.
Do you think you're a top 10 program right
yes,
now?
Yes, I think Louisville right, yes. is a – but based.
I don't think they are.
Forget
okay,
what
that's
Kenny
an opinion
Payne
and that's
did.
Wrong.
Forget what Kenny Payne did. When Louisville was looking for a coach and they knew Kenny Payne was going out, everybody
what?
Says that Louisville is a top 10,
top 10
basketball
historical program.
And
I want to know
are.
What teams
not,
are bump us out of the top 10.
Right, not based on what Kenny Payne did.
No,
they're
no
down.
Take recency
I get
out.
It.
You know, before Mike and him, we had two Hall of Fame coaches.
Finding a coach, Louisville is definitely a top 10 program.
And if that was the conversation, Tuna, I would agree with you. But currently,
that was
as
it.
We
y'all
speak.
Cut me off.
No, as we speak, in my opinion, they're not a top 10 program.
Do you right mean now. Like they're not top 10 this year? Or. Like, as a basketball program, they're not in the
with,
top 10.
With the downfall that they've had recent years,
okay.
they're not currently a top so, 10 program.
I want to know the list but, of teams that knock us out of
but
the top
6
10.
Years ago, you probably wouldn't have put UConn in there.
Mm-hmm.
A
no,
lot of people.
UConn's
well,
always in
we,
there.
We would have, but there's a lot of people that wouldn't have.
Right. UConn's always been a top 10
I
ever
mean,
since Calhoun was
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you've got your top 10 programs. You've got Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. Okay.
Kansas. Those are the top four.
Those
easy.
Are the blue bloods. Then you got IU. No mm-hmm. matter how bad IU's been, and they haven't really done very much.
Right. And
I mean, even U of L won a championship
program.
Before, but IU is a top 10 mm-hmm.
it's
job.
Definitely,
it's a program, the university, the.
It is
the
definitely
whole.
A semantics thing if we're talking about. Historically, are they a top 10 program?
To get a coach. And that's what it's all about.
Right. And I think, at least what I was trying to say last week, was that I think that the kind of the way we think about that stuff now, and I think I've actually related it to Kentucky when they were having a hard time getting a guy to commit to being their coach, I said, it's not like it used to be where it was the Kentuckys and the Louisvilles and the Dukes and the Kansas where they were the ones that could, hey, we're on national TV all the time. Well, everybody's on national TV. Hey, we can throw a bunch of money at NIL or what. Well, everybody can do that now. So I do think it's a more of a level playing field. But if you're going historically,
I'm talking championships, Final Fours. I'm talking, right. You know,
well,
wins.
Then, well,
enchilada.
Yes.
Then
we agree.
Then I don't think there's.
Well,
any,
that's what
because
that's
I saw
what Freddie.
Well,
was
the way
talking
that it
about.
Came off, like he was like, we're a top 10, you know, a top program. And it's like, we shouldn't be having a pep rally. And then it was like.
Yeah, and they both went, no,
and
they're not.
And then it was like, well, Louisville didn't do it, and they're a top 10, you know.
And I only know this because I listened to it today, and I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but I caught that.
I also saw a list earlier this week, and they listed top 10 college basketball
well,
programs.
Well, that list is bullshit.
And UK wasn't in it.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Okay, well, that says
that,
enough about that list
thing
right
ever.
Now. Yeah. I don't even know what that list was.
I mean, I can put out a list tomorrow.
But let's
the
keep
guys
going
that do
with
the best
so
algebra.
We, so we did,
well, they're looking
we,
at the last
we,
4 or 5 years. And if
almost,
you look at the last 4 or 5 years,
you can't
I
look at the
say,
last 4 or 5 years to judge a program.
Right. I would say
no.
After you go the four that we did, I would say that you go that IU, U of L, and IU is next. And then I think you go UConn.
UCLA has
UCLA,
to be in there.
And then I think Louisville's next.
I think you have a mix of like
Syracuse,
Louisville,
maybe.
Louisville and Michigan State are
Michigan
probably
State,
right there.
Yes.
Around the 7, 8, 9 spot. You
right.
know what I mean? Probably 8. And then what do you go, Arizona after that?
I don't even know that I would put Syracuse up there.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't think
I would. I would
well,
maybe.
One more than Arizona.
I think it goes back to what Travis just said.
Syracuse has one championship.
No, they won two.
It depends on what platform you're talking about, historically or something else.
Carmelo.
Yeah.
They've been to
Carmelo and Carmelo. That was it.
Yeah.
That's their national
Carmelo
championship.
And
they lost to you guys in 96 in the championship game.
That's right.
But that, yeah,
and
they
lost to
it.
Indiana in 87.
Yeah. So, and Arizona has one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anyone else out there. Anyone. But really, that's pretty much the top.
Did we even mention North Carolina?
Oh
yeah,
for sure. They're
hell,
North Carolina and Duke's ahead of Kentucky.
It was Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, and Kansas are the top.
Those are the tops.
Mm-hmm.
I think
definitely Michigan State is in there for sure.
And I just that was something I wanted to bring up. And then next, I wanted to congratulate Snuffleupagus on getting the call up from Sesame Street to be on Good Morning America.
Who is that?
I believe that you were trying to refer to George Stephanopoulos, and you called him Snuffleupagus.
I did.
Yes.
Which is
I
a big brown animal from Sesame Street.
Yeah,
Big Bird confines in.
Yeah, I just couldn't say his name.
Okay.
But I was right on Face the Nation, pal.
Yeah, well, I don't even know about Face the Nation.
Snuffleupagus is what I said.
I think Tuna, you leave for 1 week, the whole thing falls apart.
Jeez. That's all I got. That's all
whole
I got.
Thing falls apart. Oh my goodness. Well, let's. We did kind of talk about pre-show some things we wanted to get into quickly, just right off the top before we get in the meat and potatoes of the rest of the show. Scottie Scheffler, who we spent some time talking about last week, obviously after he won the Masters, goes to the RBC Heritage and doesn't play particularly well in the first round. I mean, he played fine, but ends up winning the tournament by 3, and the tournament was completed on Monday morning because of weather. But now we're into a scenario where he's won 4 of the 5 tournaments he's been in this year. The one he didn't win, he finished 2nd. He missed a putt to go to a playoff. And I've listened to
Was that waste management?
I believe it was.
Yeah, it was.
And I've listened to a lot of the pundits this week talking about it and everything. And most of them are like trying to compare him to Tiger and stuff like that. I don't think that's fair. What I think you need to do right now is look at Scottie Scheffler and go, this dude, when he enters a tournament, is almost a, if you want to, you want to make some easy money, bet on him to finish top five in a tournament right now. And we haven't seen anybody as dominant as this since Tiger Woods. Do you think that he can carry this on through the rest of the season?
What, the charade about his wife being pregnant? I don't think she's pregnant. Like, they just keep saying that, but he just keeps going out and playing dime golf. And then he goes to the bar, like a dive bar in Texas, and parties after the Masters.
The interesting thing that I heard, because we all thought, oh, my God, his wife could go in labor at any time in the Masters. Turns out she's not due till the end of May.
Yeah, there you go. So, like.
So, I suppose it could have happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, man, like, the guy's great, and it's fun to watch when you're not betting on golf, because he's the guy that you got to try to beat if you want to win any money.
Right.
But if you just sit back and you take it for what it's worth, I mean, it's soak it in, because guys like this don't come around long, and we'll see how long he can keep it up. I think the big thing, we've seen guys come through and go through streaks. And,
right.
Like, they've been at the top of their game. And, like, Colin Morikawa was the hottest guy in golf for a while.
Spieth did it.
Spieth was hot.
A few years ago.
Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka. All these guys have kind of had their streaks. And, I mean, Scotty streaks a little bit better than theirs. But we'll just – I want to see how he keeps hitting this.
Well, and I saw a very interesting thing on Golf Channel the other night where they were showing Tiger – at his most dominant, probably in around the year 2000, and Scheffler now, their proximity to the pin with their iron shots. And it's really not even close. Scheffler is night and day closer to the pin than Tiger was at his height. And I think the other thing that Scheffler has that weird footwork or whatever where he lifts his feet off the ground, but his swing isn't one that would lend itself, I don't think, to major injuries like Tiger's was. I think that, you know, his putting, we talked about it pre-Masters and post-Masters, he wasn't a terrible putter. That was kind of the narrative that was going around, but he wasn't as good as he needed to be inside of, I think it was 8 feet. Well, now inside of 8 feet, he's in the top 50 on the PGA Tour. You combine that with the way he hits the ball, his ball striking, and the way that he's unflappable when he makes a mistake. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, he hits the ball into the water off the tee box on a par four at the RBC. And the announcers are going, oh, my God, what a terrible mistake that is. He has to drop in an area where there's two big trees right in front of him. The green is a dog leg left, and the pin is all the way in the back left corner. So he drops his ball. And all he does is hit this crazy side spin hook around those trees, drops it 30, 40 feet right of the pin, and it spun within 8 feet, hits the par putt.
Well, he did that all week at Augusta, too. Like, anytime he made a mistake, he would make an amazing shot to get out of that mistake.
He would back it up with a birdie on Saturday, the eagle.
Like I said, like, when you're betting against the guy – and you're sitting there and you're like, you got a glimpse of hope because he just made a terrible shot. And it's like, all right, we can gain a stroke here. And he pulls just like some kind of rabbit out of his hat again. And it's incredible to watch.
I thought another great stat was that at the RBC in the first round on the third hole, he made double bogey. On the last hole of the tournament, he made bogey. In between those two, he made nothing but birdies and pars. Like, that's incredible. I mean, it's incredible.
I have another comparison to Tiger they showed. Between the first win and the 10th win of their career, David Duval is the quickest with 33 events. Scotty Scheffler's at 54 and Tiger's at 59.
Wow.
I think Scotty's frame behooves him because he's a taller.
I don't know what that word means.
He's a taller.
I'm going to be honest. Laugh all you want. I don't know what behooves means.
The swing is a lot. He doesn't have to torque as much. Now, that said, he's got a long way to go to catch up with Tiger.
It means favors.
Okay.
Favors.
I got you.
Whiteboard back here.
I never claimed to be a smart person.
Well, he's
guys.
Back here, like, breaking out the
you can't be this pretty and intelligent. So.
Well, yeah, I mean.
You had to get on Jerry about snuffleupagus earlier. Come on. You can throw that word out there. You don't know about
Sesame Street
behooves.
Character? I don't know if that falls into Kate.
Freddie.
Sorry. What?
Don't worry about him. He's sleeping over
there.
I mean,
Freddie's been over here with his nose.
Dude,
nose buried in his
Australian
nose.
I think he's betting Australian racetracks right now.
I think Chef. He's going to win the goddamn Super Bowl. I think he's going to win everything. That's how great he is. I mean, we can talk about it all we want, but it's just flat out amazing.
Are you going to bet it? Are you going to bet against him at the PGA?
No, God, no. And we're going to the PGA, and we're going to follow his ass.
I got a bet
That's what we're going to do.
I bet he's not there.
Baby.
Oh, you know what?
I bet he doesn't play the PGA.
That would be right, and wouldn't that be nuts?
But he doesn't have a PGA title.
No, and he would have a legitimate
shot
at winning the actual the Grand Slam. But
he wants that Wanamaker.
Jody's right.
You're saying if his child is not born yet.
Well, that's right about when his child is expected, that week. And he's already said, I'm not going to miss that. That's a great point.
Does he already have a kid?
This is his first child.
Okay, his interview Wednesday before the Masters, he said, I'm on 16 leading on Sunday and my caddy gets a call and she goes into labor, he goes, I'm walking off the course.
Yeah.
That was a month. 5 weeks before the baby's
dead. Right.
maybe he'll name his kid Wanamaker.
maybe the baby's born in
Wanamaker
Louisville.
Wanamaker Chef.
Yeah. Why not just bring your wife here?
There's nurses and doctors on the course. Just put her out there in a tent.
Just let her be born right there at Valhalla.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If Chef isn't there, I'm not going.
Hold the baby up like the Lion King when
he wins.
You're
not going to go and pull for JT Poston? I figured you'd follow him around.
Oh,
top
no.
five finish at the RBC, no, just saying. No, he's gearing up for a run, boys.
I hear you.
And as dominant as Scotty has been on the PGA side of things, Nelly Korda has been even more dominant on the LPGA side of things, having won 5 tournaments in a row. Like, this is a kind of an unprecedented thing in the recent history of golf, where you have 2 players that are dominating the fields in the men's and the women's game. I definitely wanted to shout out to Nelly Korda because she deserves all the accolades you can give as well. And I watched some of that tournament on Sunday, and we thought maybe there was going to be a close, tight finish at the end. But it's almost to me like the Tiger in 2000 era, where everybody else around Nelly is like, well, she's too good. We're going to press and try to do too much. People were shanking them in the woods, hitting them in the water, and she ended up winning going away.
And, Travis, am I wrong, or did she tie a record with that? Didn't Nancy Lopez do that and Annika Stornestam? They both have 5 wins in a row.
I could not say that for a fact.
I think even crazier.
But that would not shock me because those two were kind of the Nicklaus and Woods as a comparison to the ladies game of their era. So that would not surprise me. But I don't know that for a fact.
Sounds good.
So we got golf out of the way. I don't even know what tournament is this weekend. I think it's one that most guys are going to take the week off. It's certainly isn't a prestige event, or what do they call them on the PGA Tour now? Like a featured event where all the guys kind of have to play. Which, by the way, I thought that was really cool that Scheff even showed up to play in that tournament. And then not only did he show up, he dominates the field.
Well, I feel like again. When you're hot, man, you just keep going. You know what I mean? You don't want to take a
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah, just take a break. And that the RBC has a pretty big payout. You know, the purse on it's massive. Yeah.
That's one of those featured events. I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday said the ultimate flex would be for Scheffler to show up at whatever this little tournament is coming up this week where none of the top players are playing, for him to show up and go, yeah, I'm going to make it five in a row too against a bunch of guys that are, you know, trying to keep their tour card and things like that. So, but Tuna, you mentioned outside, and with all this other stuff going on, I think it's a little lost, obviously not nationally, but around here it's lost in the mix a little bit. The NFL draft is upon us.
Ka-ka. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Go Bengals! Hooday!
Yeah. I think here's the thing with this draft. Obviously, the NFL is all that national media is going to talk about nonstop. But I think the thing with this draft is it just doesn't seem like an exciting draft. Like,
I agree.
I think we all kind of know what's going to happen in this. It's the first several picks are laid out. The only real thing that you're going to look for is if the Vikings trade up here with the Chargers to get a quarterback. And a lot of people are projecting them to trade up and get J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. And, like, we've talked about it before, man. I just don't know what the NFL sees in this kid. And I'm the guy that took up for him all season when everybody's like, he can't throw the ball. And I sat here on this podcast and said he makes every throw he needs to.
Right.
But I still can't see where you can take the offense that he ran in college and translate anything like that into the NFL. But for whatever reason, these brainiacs who whiff on quarterbacks every year seem to they're going to keep doing it.
I did see that a lot of people are saying that Mike is moving up.
Well,
and
that's one thing I wanted to get at. As of right now, well, as of 5:30 this afternoon, you could get Mike Penix going in the first round for -130. And I feel like that's just easy money.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get drafted. Here's the deal. There's too many teams that need quarterbacks this year, and they're going to trade up to get who they want. So he may not go super early. He may go late first round. He may go, you know, early first round. You don't know.
I'd be shocked if he didn't go in the first round.
Here's the thing. If he didn't have two torn ACLs and a bad shoulder, you know, his injury history is the only thing that's
right.
kicking him back right now. But I guess the other interesting thing is, like, you know, the Commanders at the two spot. Are they going to take Drake May? Or are they going to take Jaden Daniels? The sports books, if you seem to follow where they're going, it's leaning toward Jaden Daniels.
Right. I think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback out there.
Yeah, I mean, he may be. And Drake May going to New England, I think they laid that plan out a while back, and, you know, they're going to take him or
I think the Patriots are taking him.
Yeah, for sure.
He just seems like the kind of guy they're going to draft.
I think
for a variety of reasons.
Why's that, Travis?
For a variety of reasons.
Belichick ain't there anymore.
That's true.
If Belichick was there, they'd take a random mid-major offensive lineman in the first round who was projected to go in the sixth. But I think the big thing with this draft is there's really no defensive standouts in this. Like we've had, like every year, it's like edge rushers have dominated the top half of the draft.
Right.
And we don't really have that this year. I mean, you may see like 19 to 20 offensive players go in the first round this year, which is kind of unheard of.
I thought
of.
It was interesting that there's no like any offensive linemen.
There's tons of offensive linemen.
But not in the top 10.
Yes, yeah.
It's like
offensive
quarterback,
tackles.
Quarterback.
Well, everybody's going to go quarterback early, and then you got those three wide receivers.
I'm just saying,
you know,
usually
Harrison,
there's an offensive lineman that a game changer.
Joe Ault's
going
to be
the
first guy to go, and he's – the thing is, you have these three wide receivers that are game changers, and then you have the quarterback run that's going to happen early.
And the wide receivers are?
Well, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, and Roma Duse.
Right. But, and who's the third one? The guy from LSU.
That's what
the
I just said.
LSU.
Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first one I mentioned.
And I think you got to throw in the other wide receiver from LSU. That kid's unbelievable. Yeah. Mike Thomas.
I don't know if he's in the first round. He may. But Joe Ault is probably, like, I think he's going to probably end up at the Tennessee Titans, and he's sitting in there at the seventh spot, or the Tennessee's with the seven pick. So you got guys. There's several tackles out there that are going to go.
Except for the UK quarterback, he's going to block his blind side.
Yes. and we see.
What's his name, Jody?
Can we go on to NBA?
I will say Tennessee did acquire one of my favorite players and a great Super Bowl champion in L'Jarius Sneed. I hate seeing him not be a Chief anymore, but congrats to the Titans.
I think we're going to have a good offseason, but we're still predicted fourth in our division.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's a wild division, but I think we're going to see probably a lot of trades in this first half.
I think there's
going to
be a lot of trades. I was actually listening to Kuiper, and he said that this is a different draft than some of the last that they've had, the several that have been, you know, the last 10 years. It's going to be a different draft.
I think one thing I'm curious about is, like, you got these three guys between Chop Robinson, Dallas Turner, and Jared Verse. I'm wanting to see who goes first out of those three. I know who I would take. I would personally probably go with Chop Robinson.
Well, we know you're not taking Dallas Turner.
Well, I said this year Dallas Turner had a great year.
No, he did.
But I've seen him take way too many plays off.
Did you see his combine?
I've seen him take way too many plays off.
I love Chop Robinson. When he got hurt,
yeah,
Penn State was a different team.
They really were. I think he's probably – if you take that injury out, I think he's the clear number one.
And Verse –
Jared
Verse
is phenomenal.
That game they got slaughtered in, he still had one hell of a game.
Yeah, and
well, he was gimpy in that game too.
He benefited by playing next to Fisk that whole
time.
Right, right. So, I mean, I don't know what you're going to get with Verse.
What about the kid for Florida State, the wide receiver? Is he
– Coleman?
Yeah.
He's in this draft,
be up
but
there,
he's
man.
Not.
That kid.
The thing is like wide receivers. Unless you're an absolutely elite talent,
right?
There's so many. The NFL's so saturated with these guys.
I feel like he is an elite talent, and I feel like Wilson is too.
I don't know.
The height.
Yeah,
the height of Wilson that reminds
I don't know,
you
man.
Of.
He got outplayed a lot by smaller dudes.
He did towards the end, but I think he just lost focus. With the team, the quarterback's getting hurt. I mean, how can you be excited to being a wide receiver for Florida State when you don't even know who your quarterback, when your main guy that's throwing you targets is gone? You know,
no,
that had to be tough for those guys when a third stringer comes in.
Just for everybody listening, the draft is in Detroit this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Nashville 2 years ago.
Yeah, I believe so.
Which was. Mm-hmm. A spectacle,
and
amazing.
Vegas last year,
and
right?
Vegas last year, amazing. Mm-hmm. What do you think this is going to be like in Detroit this year? Because it's at the Halt Plaza or whatever it's.
Buddy, they could have this at Old Tiger Stadium that's a parking lot now, and I think it would just be electric. And okay. It's like, first of all, Dan Campbell, what he's done to that city and like how they're just so locked into football right now, and they actually like, have something to be excited about in Detroit. Like, they're going to show out in Groves, man, and it's going to be wild. And I think they're going to do a great job with it.
It's probably the perfect timing. So when do you know when this came out? Like when they decided to have it in Detroit? Was that before Vegas last year?
Yeah, I believe they do this like several years in advance.
So it just coincided.
I don't know that for sure, but I would think so.
But it's probably coincided with Detroit having the great run they have. Interesting.
And I guess it was 3 years ago. It was in Kansas City, and they knew about it being in Kansas City for like 6 years previously. So I don't think that may not, I don't think that was an exception there. But anyway, I don't really know. I love the NFL draft. Like, it's one of my favorite nights of the year, the first round especially.
Oh, no, it's awesome. And but I love all the stuff they've done to it now, where they amp it up even more and more and more, you know.
It just doesn't have the
pizzazz.
No, this year there's just something about it that I'm just not – everything just seems so predictable here, and I guess
the running backs have fallen, like you said.
I think after we get out of the top 10 picks, I think that's when it starts getting a little fun.
Right.
So I usually give out a couple nice bets to take on, you know, the draft and draft spots and when guys are going to go. And I don't think there's anything on here I would touch. Other than, like I said, the Michael Penix -130 to go in the first round. Because I do think a team's going to trade up to get him. And Bo Nix, I could see a scenario where he ends up in the first half.
We know you love Bo.
Yeah, and I think the Oakland Raiders love Bo also.
Oh.
So, or the Las Vegas Raiders.
Who's your top three players that are going to get drafted that have a big impact next year?
For one, Chop Robinson. I believe he will. I think Marvin Harrison, for sure, because he's probably going to end up in Arizona. That's going to happen. And then I'm going to go with another wide receiver because they always seem to make an impact sooner than other players. And I would probably – man, it's a coin flip between Neighbors and Aduzier or Duze.
Can I answer that question?
It's going to be Ryan.
I know who you're going to say.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say it's going to be Mike, it's going to be Penix, and it's going to be Mike Penix Jr.
I think a lot of people are saying he's going to end up in Seattle.
Oh, I heard Atlanta earlier today.
Atlanta has shown interest, and I know Seattle is very interested. So
I thought Atlanta has like three quarterbacks.
I would love it if he went to Seattle. Mm-hmm. I would love it if he went to Seattle.
I know he's not drafting him as Pittsburgh. See, this whole dynamic with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields being on the same team is something I just can't wrap my head around.
I know.
And I don't know how this is going to work.
It's going to be so funny.
And Mike Tomlin does a phenomenal job every year on like dealing with assholes because he has had more assholes on his team than probably any franchise out there.
Yeah, and he's had to deal with them for longer than any other coach.
Absolutely.
Because he's been there longer than any other coach.
And I'm not saying that Russ Wilson or Justin Fields are assholes, but that situation could turn anybody into an asshole.
Yes, it favors a scenario where even if you're not a jerk, you're made to look like a jerk because of circumstances that have brought you there. Mm-hmm. And now you've got both those guys there.
Yeah.
And now you got to manage that.
Yeah.
Does he have
and
another?
George Pickens out there who is an asshole. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dallas Turner, Tarion Arnold.
Kool-Aid
McKinstry, J.C. Latham. But actually, in all seriousness, I think Brian Thomas Jr., I think he's going to have a better season than Neighbors because I've seen Neighbors talk about taking plays off, talk about getting frustrated. Some of the little things that he gets mad about and throws tantrums, I think Thomas is way more mature from watching them play. And I think Xavier Worthy might be a little guy that they're going to throw with this new rule with kickoff returns and all that. I think he's going to have a little fun out there with wherever he goes.
Your boy Thomas is projected at 23 right now to the San Diego Chargers via the Vikings, I believe.
And that would be a great pickup for him to go.
San Diego Chargers don't exist anymore.
Because they're,
they'll always be the Chargers.
You know what I'm saying? They're
well, they're still the Chargers. They're just not the San Diego Chargers.
They've got some receivers that are getting old.
Half the people in L.A. don't even
know
they're there.
Oh, no. You're right. And I did want to mention.
Half the people in San Diego don't know they left. What?
What?
What's happening?
Can I finish what I was saying?
Were you talking? My bad.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I just think that the Chargers have some old wide receivers. They really do. And gimpy ones at that who get hurt a lot. And I think that.
Well, I think all they have up there right now is Keenan Allen.
Well, Allen, that's who I'm talking
about. Mike Thomas is gone.
That's who I'm talking about. Yeah. Keenan Allen, your boy from Clemson? Little old Clemson?
Yeah, Big Mike.
Yeah.
He's
Big
gone.
Mike is hurt more than the other one from Clemson.
The people that get hurt a lot.
No, the other one from Clemson. The other
Sammy
one
Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. I've never seen so many players get hurt from little old Clemson.
Too much pizza.
Too much dough. Too much pepperoni. Too much pizza.
Is there science behind that?
But
there should be, by God.
That's what I'm thinking.
But Roman, no, but I do look for that, look for some of those players to have a great season.
Now, I did want to say that Colin sent a text today, and I want to see what you think about this, Tuna. He said, I'd just like it to be known on the podcast that if the Giants don't draft a QB, they need to blow the whole organization up because it is a shit show. What do you think about that? Where do the Giants pick, by the way? I have no idea.
Collins is not, he's not going to like my answer on this.
Oh, here we go.
I like Daniel Jones.
Oh,
I really do, man.
He's going to text you tomorrow.
I know, he's going to be so mad at me for saying that. But, I don't know, dude. I don't know who they would even consider taking.
You got to have a cast around you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that.
And I don't know, man. He's showed that he can play. It's just they have the sixth pick. Right now they're projected to get Malik Nabers at the sixth spot.
Okay.
And I have no problem with that. I mean, do they trade? Like, I can't see where they would trade up to take. They're not going to get one of the top three spots unless they put just a ridiculous package.
Right, and I don't. There's no way they're going to
do
that.
I don't know. New England may love Daniel Jones.
Well, I mean, that's true.
Because he may be their type of player, right, Trav?
no comment.
I don't know. I mean, that's I guess, a scenario that could be open because if Belichick was still there, I could see that happening. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I can't. First of all, I can't get over this J.J. McCarthy thing. If he goes in the top 10, I might lose my mind, but whatever. But yeah, Colin, I'm sorry, but I'd stick with Daniel Jones and I'd get talent around him. I'd work on an offensive line. I'd probably take Joe Alt over.
I
was gonna say that if they still
when you look at Daniel Jones' stats at the end of the season, even though he may not be a gamer that can get that win in the fourth quarter, his stats are in the top five or six quarterbacks in the league. Rushing, all the little things. I mean, and like look at him in fantasy. That's all you gotta do. I mean,
I would recommend both you guys changing your phone numbers tonight because I'm sure you're going to get an angry text or six from Colin tomorrow.
I mean, Colin, he's not Jeff Hostetler.
Well, just to throw this out there, Colin black-catted me the other night by texting me during the Predators game.
He told me. He told me.
Do tell.
He could, if I could go through tonight without a text from him, I'd be happy.
But told me about that.
Just don't text me when Winnipeg's playing.
Now the Preds were up 2-1, and he texts me. He's like, Preds, I bet on them. And then, and then I was like, I'm not responding right now because it's chaos.
That's the perfect transition to the NHL playoffs. I sent out a text the other night, and anybody that listens to this show knows that I am certainly not NHL fan number one, but I did send out a text the other night where I said, playoff hockey sucks me in even when I don't know the teams or the players on the teams and how fun these first, I mean, we're only a couple days into the playoffs and how fun it's been. And
the announcing is the spectacular. Announcing
is, I was going to touch on that.
It makes you want to jump out of your chair and grab your beer and squeeze it. Where's Gary Thorne? Like, what do you mean? We don't need Gary Thorne. Like, he's out there. Like, all these announcers, it just pumps you up.
It's impossible to sit down during the last 5 minutes of a hockey game when there's a one puck lead or one goal lead. It's insanity. And, I mean, the matchups that we're getting in the first round, like, they're incredible. I mean, they're you got the Leaves and the Bruins right out of the gate, two rivalries that hate each other. And by the way, why do the Leafs, explain this one to me. Why do the Maple Leafs spell their moniker L-E-A-F-S instead of L-E-A-V-E-S?
Instead of the plural of
like leaves, but it's Leafs.
That's got to
be a Canadian thing.
Because they're from Canada.
Jesus, so we can never
Jesus,
pull for
Freddie,
that.
That's the first time I've ever agreed with you right
Thank
off
you.
The bat Thank about
you.
Anything.
Says the guy that's pulling for Winnipeg.
That's right. The Jets. Go Jets.
But, I mean, that's a great series right out of the gate. And then you have, which I think is one of the funnest
the
ones
guy
to talk
that
about.
Said, what the hell's the octopus on the ice for?
Talk about.
I love the octopus going on the ice and the mere fact, like Tuna said, they sneak them in. Like in their winter parkas, or I don't know how they in their hats.
They put them in Ziploc bags and shove them in their britches.
Yeah, and then they throw them out there, and I figure that it had something to do with the number 8, right? I don't know. Is it not a hat trick thing?
Yes, it's a hat trick
thing. So when there's a hat trick, you throw, you know what that is, Tuna?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Well, that's also used in football, soccer.
Yeah.
But no, dude. And wait till the fights start coming because there's going to be.
Watch the Tampa Bay Florida series.
There's going to be some battles, man.
Well, like the craziest thing that I seen was that the game one of the Avalanche and the Jets. All right, that atmosphere for one in Winnipeg was insane.
7-6, right, unreal.
And then you had probably the best goalie in all of hockey give up 7 goals.
Right.
What the hell?
Right.
I mean, it was, I don't know, man. You never know what you're going to get with hockey and everything. It seems like every game comes right down to the line. And Carolina looks like, I mean, they look like a bit of a wagon. They were down what, 3 goals the other night? Or 2 goals at least to last night to the Islanders. Stormed back. They had 2 goals in 8 seconds to win
that shot. Wow. Upper V.
For everybody listening out there on the thread, we heard 7 words from Tuna all week, but when hockey was on last night, it was like the podcast. Like, he was texting nonstop. He is legit in it the way he's saying. He is in it to win it.
Yeah. I need the Preds to get out of the West Coast, man. We're games aren't starting until 10 p.m. and it's just getting to me.
I'm a Blackhawks fan. They're not in it. Nope. I can't wear that jersey. Mm-hmm. What about the Philadelphia Flyers? They're not in it either.
No,
I can't wear that jersey. I got a Flyers jersey. I guess I'll have to wear my Guns N' Roses hockey jersey.
You drive to Canada and get your Winnipeg jersey.
Oh man, I'm telling you.
So
sell those in Kentucky.
If everybody listened to the podcast when we first back here a little while ago, we said Winnipeg. Remember, we brought it up. We were laughing at it. Never seen them. Remember from the days of ESPN when they started. I mean the beginning of SportsCenter. Literally ESPN. Winnipeg was
now. Being here's the thing, shown. Fred. You said that on the text thread today. You said, I picked Winnipeg.
I said I was going to pull for Winnipeg because they've never won anything.
Now,
and then I asked if there was a Saskatchewan, and there isn't.
Oh,
there's just a Winnipeg.
Well, there's a Saskatchewan in the Canadian Football League.
That's
right.
Our Snuffleupagus for the
Rough
week.
Riders.
But Winnipeg has been around. They have to be. I know Boston Bruins and all the – I know that there's major history there with the Flyers and everybody, but Winnipeg just is one of those teams that you never hear about.
I sent out a text on our thread where I said, I'm not sure that I've ever known less about a professional, major North American professional sports team than the Winnipeg Jets. I've never seen them play
Travis.
Their best player is American born. So you got that.
Okay.
It's, Connor Hellebuyck, their goalie.
Yeah, but again, it's a bunch of dudes that I would have never heard of.
But that is something that
I'm gonna tell you, that atmosphere in that building was unreal.
Yeah.
And I loved every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was so fun to watch and fun to be texting back and forth and
Canucks atmosphere was very similar.
Yeah.
And you asked a question, how come they don't wear like the cool uniforms anymore? What uniform were you talking about, the black and yellow or
yellow, orange?
Yeah, actually the ones that they have now were the original uniform, and they went to those black ones in like the 70s or something like that.
Well, I prefer the 70s.
I kind of like the ones they have now, man.
I think it's probably those were the originals.
Yeah.
I think everybody has the blue and white. I like that like weird 70s aesthetic.
Well, it has now. They have the Hartford Whalers colors. That the Hartford Whalers are gone now.
That's right.
Aren't they green, blue?
Green and blue.
Right.
Yeah, those were cool. And
they
Hurricanes. People listening to this know us, guys, we have no hockey around here. Like, however, we did have hockey here because I was a season ticket. Well, my father was
Ice Hawks were a blast.
And I had a jersey, Broadbent Arena.
It's called a sweater.
Buddy, we were there all the time. Great place to pick up chicks, too. The big beers, and you go walking around and bang on the glass and then go walking around a little bit.
Oh,
and
they had the 95.7 recliners. The
radio.
You could win tickets
around the Budweiser
recliners that were sitting on there.
And we had a friend that was the stitch doctor for them. So we got free tickets, and he was the guy that stitched them up if they needed it. Mm-hmm. And then
they needed it a lot.
Hey, and half the guys stayed over at Doc's house. So I would go over there, and they'd have parties, and these guys are wild.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, and then the River Frogs. We had the Travis won that next one, the River Frogs. And
then we had the Panthers in Freedom
and then the
Hall.
Panther,
they were like the
AAA. Right, the Panthers, and then
the
it
problem
just
with
disappeared.
That
Why?
Because
was
Freedom Hall was a terrible place for hockey.
It was.
Broadbent Arena
was
incredible.
Great.
Like, why did they even have to move that over there?
I don't even know, because that was the best.
Well, the owner of the Panthers here was the son of the guy that owned the Florida Panthers.
Oh,
he was 23. He was from Saudi, and he was like, I hate the city.
Right.
But yeah, it was much better in Broadway.
Now he hangs out with
then
Phil Mickelson.
Well, then we became a soccer city. You know, soccer became
Tuna,
our...
that's a great line. That's a great line that might have been lost.
What did you say, Tuna? Had I not
highlighted it, that would have been lost in the ethos. That's a great
line.
I'm
sure somebody
if you all read my text Saturday, now we definitely might get that guy on the podcast.
Yeah. But man, we need to go to a hockey game. I mean, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean,
in Winnipeg,
my neighbor behind my house.
Well, you have the St. Louis Blues. You have the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Plays for Louisville, and he's on a team. He plays club in
Ice House.
No, he plays club hockey in Iran.
Israel.
Israel. He plays. Did I say Iran?
Close enough.
Close
Jesus
enough.
Christ.
He plays. He plays.
I mean, everybody knows the best semi-professional hockey league is in Iran.
Iran.
Christ.
The Khomeini. The Khomeini.
I'm pretty sure he's a Jewish guy, too, so I don't think that would fly over very well.
I think the name of their team's the Ayatollahs. Yeah.
Oh,
but dude, he
flyover
play,
is probably
club.
Not the proper word.
But
right
hey,
now.
He does play club soccer in Israel. I mean, like, and he tells me about all this. Oh. Like, guys, we gotta go to a Nashville hockey game somewhere.
Explain that to your wife.
Where's Winnipeg?
We're going out of the country.
How far is Winnipeg?
I think it's
from
just
here?
North of North Dakota, right?
Are you telling me Barstool doesn't have some guy out there at Winnipeg doing something right now?
I think Winnipeg is just north of like Minnesota and North Dakota area. Is that right? I don't know.
I think it's by Saskatchewan.
I don't know what the word behooves means, so
we,
I don't
we
even
don't
know
do
my geography.
On
yeah,
this
I mean,
podcast.
I know my limitations.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I do know the difference between Israel and Iran, though. I would like to note that.
Hey, I said it within half a second. I corrected myself.
Oh, my God. All right. Fred,
I was thinking they all had dark mustaches.
I'm going to have to edit that out. Yeah. Fred, I would like for you right now, we are 2 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby.
Folks, big time.
And I know that you have had your nose buried in your Derby book over there.
Hell, just a minute ago.
I cannot wait to hear what you have to say. What I would like to do, and I know you want to go 20 deep.
No, I'm not going to do that. I have a new plan.
I want you to give me the top 10 contenders in the Derby, and then next week, we will go to our best.
Right, well,
tonight, I thought maybe you could tell me the horses that don't have a shot.
I'm going to tell you the horses that don't have a shot right now.
That's what I want to hear.
Okay.
Be like okay. Three of them.
The horses that don't have a shot are Uncle Heavy does not have a shot.
Well, he's not in it, is he?
Yeah, he's getting ready to maybe be in it.
Oh, I thought you said last week that he wasn't in it.
I don't think Just Steel has a shot. That's a Lucas horse. I don't think Mystic Dan. I don't think... Catalytic has a shot.
Converter?
I don't think Resilience has a shot. I don't think possibly Normal Time. I don't think Dornick has a shot.
Isn't that Danny's horse?
Yeah, but he has not impressed. Through lately, you know, you got to go. Here's one of the things about the Derby. Number one, you've got to look for horses that haven't maybe ran their best race yet. And that's hard to find. You don't want someone kind of like in sport or, you know, that's peaked already. You know, you don't want that team or whatever when you're watching other sports that is peaked too high already. And that brings me to a couple names. Domestic Product is a horse that won the Tampa Bay Derby, has not ran since. And
is that horse born in America?
I'm not,
I was going
to
say, he's not from Winnipeg.
No, he is
not. I was hoping it was a Saudi horse.
That hasn't peaked yet. I'll tell you something interesting that I did. I went through every Derby prep, and I have the top four written down of every Derby prep. First, second, third, and fourth from the beginning. And I went through and I put a dot by every horse that's in the Derby that was in that prep from way back. The very first prep that I list is the Iroquois. And believe it or not, West Saratoga won and he's in the Derby. And that's interesting. Who did he beat? No one. So I went through and I looked, well, wait a minute. who did beat a couple guys that won. So let's start looking here. We look. The first one that we get to, believe it or not, is the Remsen. Dornick. This is my question mark, though. It was a wet track, and Dornick beat Sierra Leone. Okay? I'm not giving Dornick a mark, but the four horses that have beaten a lot of good horses are in this order. These four are the hard four that I am really looking at. Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom get a tie, the two closers. They have beat the most horses and the best in their Derby preps. Track Phantom, who's maybe run his best race, I'm not sure, but I got to keep looking at him, is second. Fierceness has not ran that many races, but he has beaten a couple quality opponents in that last race. And then Just a Touch, my X Factor horse, who was second in a lot of these races. And this is really what I just want to spend like 2 minutes on, Travis. So if you go through and you look with those horses, you go to the first prep where there's four Derby horses that came in first, second, third, and fourth. Smarty Jones. Catching Freedom wins. He beats Just Steel and Mystic Dan and West Saratoga. You go to the LeCompte. Track Phantom beats four horses. You go to...
Only five horses in that race?
No. I'm just saying the top four.
Okay.
You go to the Risen Star, possibly one of the best Derby prep there was. Sierra Leone beats Track Phantom, who's second. Catching Freedom, third. Honor Marie, fourth. Then you look on down. Deterministic beats Just a Touch in the Gotham. Then you get to the Louisiana Derby. Catching Freedom beats Honor Marie. Tuscan Gold, Track Phantom. Fierceness beats Catalytic. Then you go to the Bluegrass. Sierra Leone beats Just a Touch. Epic Ride, who just got in. Dornick. And I look at those horses, and how do you... You got to get rid of horses. You can't bet everybody. So you start looking, and this is how you figure out ways to knock horses out. And right now, I am looking at Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, you know is my horse, Track Phantom, Fierceness, Just a Touch, Stronghold, and one of our guys, it's one of the handicappers that I talk to a lot, is throwing in Encino, who has been hot, maybe not run his best race, and Domestic Product, who is sitting there after that Tampa Bay win, hasn't ran since.
I thought you threw him out.
Watch out. No, I did not throw Domestic Product out. I said that he is a horse that is not ran in a while, and he won his last race against pretty good horses, two Derby horses. So that's what I'm looking at. Those guys right there. Everyone else, I'm not even looking at. Look, the Japanese horse, everyone's going, what about him? What about him? I'm trying to beat Fierceness, okay,
sure.
Guys.
Right.
I'm trying to beat Fierceness, and it's good. And but as the days go, and as I go on the backside in the mornings and watch them work out, he worked out today for the first time. And sometimes you just look at a horse and you're like, I can't. I got to change it up. This guy looks. He's training incredible. You get the buzz on the backside. And then you see another horse that's huge and you like what he's doing and you get the talk back there a little bit. You start looking at the speed figures in the speed room and like, we're going to get further down the line, but right now that's really all we need to talk about is those are the horses. I've got about six of them right now. And those are front runners and closers, horses that you can do a wheel and put three on top, three on the bottom. or however you want to do it. And, you know, you never know if those closers are going to come at the end, but I think these are. They're that good.
That's awesome. And next week, we will make our picks, and Freddie will break down even more and make his
picks. I'm going to have really organized stuff next week.
Yep. I can't wait for that.
So get ready.
Can't wait for that. I also understand that you had a couple of things to talk about with the Champions League.
Champions League, guys. Right. Champions League. Now, remember, we got into soccer big time with World Cup.
We did, with the World Cup.
Tuna went out and practiced shootout kicks.
Kickball.
Yeah. What to do when the pressure's on.
I still have my shin guards.
So he's got
shin
guards.
He still has his Peru jersey.
His World Cup Peru jersey is still there.
Is that when he passed out in the alley behind your house?
Well, he also had a Cubs helmet on. It looked like Bob Dernier out there. But we all know, or most people know, in the Champions League, it's the biggest the biggest club.
And Fred, we've talked about how good playoff hockey is.
Right.
I would be remiss if I didn't say how good this tournament has been. I mean, every game almost has been unbelievable.
Right, right. And now you get to the knockout part where you're not best out of three. Now you are in the final four. It is here. Borussia Dortmund beat Atletico Madrid. They are in the final four going against Paris Saint-Germain, who beat my club, Barcelona.
Barcelona.
So you have Borussia Dortmund in the German league going against the French league leader, PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. On the other side, you have Bayern Munich, another German club team that beat Arsenal. That was somewhat of an upset.
It was.
Bundesliga is running this thing.
And then you had Real Madrid, who has as many titles as Barcelona, and they upset the last few years' best team in soccer, Manchester City, and that was a big upset. And so now you have Bayern Munich versus Real Madrid. Those games are coming up. I don't have the dates. Are they? No, 420. I think they're coming up in May. And they'll be on. Both those games are in May. And then we have June 1st is the final.
Good God.
June 1st is the final. But we're going to do a pool here. Our guys, we're going to put a little money in it, and we're all going to.
Oh, I can't wait.
We're going to pick our team, whoever we think. And I can tell you that Tuna loves sauerkraut and mustard and
schnitzels.
And schnitzel and Hefeweizen. So he will be pulling for one of these German teams.
I like yodeling. I'm a big yodeler.
My favorite soccer player in the world today is Vinny Jr., and he plays for Real Madrid. He's a Brazilian, and that's my guy. We know who plays for Paris Saint-Germain, Mbappe, and many other fantastic players.
Can you put Thousand Island dressing on a schnitzel?
You know what? It would probably be pretty good.
I might be able to. I don't
know. Fred, I want to add
your Wiener schnitzels
to people listening. What they don't understand about this Final Four, they actually
play the
Wiener
Schlinger
twice.
Right.
They play home and home.
Right. They play home and home.
So
good
they play
call,
the
Jody.
Same team twice, and I have the dates.
Right. And here's the dates. Yes, they play.
The dates are Real Madrid and Bayern the 30th.
Okay, the 30th.
And
so,
then Wednesday the 1st, it's Dortmund, PSG. The 7th is PSG at Dortmund. And then the 8th is Real Madrid.
Right, and guys, sometimes these games, the games before this were on a Tuesday, Wednesday. On regular TV, Like, the soap opera is canceled, and these games are on regular TV, folks, on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Hey, they're also on Paramount.
And they're also on Paramount.
They're on Paramount.
But they're on, yeah. And, you know, they're on the Champions League that's on regular TV on your cable. But, guys, you've got to watch these games. It's the best of the best before we get to the Euro Cup and World, and eventually World Cup. So, there you have it. There are the teams. I am pulling for Real Madrid, even though I'm a Barcelona guy. Yes, everyone goes, wait a minute. El Clasico, how can you do that? But
well, if you knew
I'm a Spanish
Fred,
guy.
If you know Fred, you know how he can do that.
I like frites and small plates.
He likes whoever is favored to win.
That's right. No.
He just said that's right, and then he went, no.
Well, wait a minute. I guess Real Madrid is favored to win
now. I think he was just caught up in the small
But they
place.
Weren't.
He was caught up in the moment.
They were not favored to win, but now they are.
They weren't originally. I got Real Madrid PSG with PSG winning it all.
That's awesome.
Okay. So I like Real Madrid. Jody just said he likes PSG.
Well, I got Real Madrid on the other side and against PSG for the final and then PSG.
So we're going to do the brackets. Yeah. We'll see who does.
We will.
Who wins the money.
Yes. We will.
We'll do it by points or whatever.
And by the way, speaking of that, I do want to thank the guy who reached out to me and let me know that he won the Blockout Sports Pod.
Who was it?
Bracketology thing.
Do we...
It was a guy who
listens to our show.
Yeah, and I sent a thing out, and I said, if this is you, please reach out to me and prove it. He did, and he got paid.
Do we know his name?
Craig.
Craig!
Who finished second?
Jody.
Just the first
Sorry,
loser.
Jody. I'm glad Craig won that.
Miss Sparky had to throw something in there.
Well, cool, dude. I love it. One of our listeners won.
So that was really cool. As we're watching this, we've got the Pacer game on here. We've got some NBA stuff going on. Next week, we're going to really get into a deep dive into the NBA playoffs.
Who black catted the Lakers last night?
I don't know, but I
they were
loved
only
it.
Up 22, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna cover. I bet all the underdogs in a parlay. Of course, the Magic screwed me, but and then the freaking Lakers are up 22 in the fourth quarter, and they lose.
You're begging for Colin to text you now. Guys, I'm going to send it around the room for anybody to let us know what's going on the rest of the week or anything that you guys have to say. Tuna, again, we're glad you're back. Go.
All right. This past Saturday was a huge boxing upset.
I can't believe I forgot to talk about that.
Ryan Garcia.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us, Tuna.
And Devin Haney.
And what a fight it was.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the antics leading up to this.
Yes.
Garcia not even making weight.
Yes.
Okay, so he gets fined. The belt's no longer on the line here because they had to come up with a contract within like a day just to get this fight going so they could fight.
Was he too heavy or too light?
No, he was too heavy by 3 pounds.
Damn Big Mac.
So, too much Thousand Island. But apparently, like, he was out drinking, wasn't even training. Like,
hell,
it was,
I love this guy already.
Yeah, and he just comes out and just stuns the world and beats the snot out of Devin Haney. And anyway, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, it wasn't like, he was bigger and more powerful. Mm-hmm. He was quicker.
Mm-hmm.
He was quicker.
He was
the better fighter.
It, hands down.
He was the better fighter.
And I don't think anyone's seen that coming.
No.
Is that what you were doing, Hungry Man, Melo Yolo, and Thousand Island with him last weekend?
Yes. We were kicking it last week. But his regimen seemed to work. But I also, like, up to that, I just want to say, like, boxing is such an amazing sport, and I feel like we need better promotion of this because the amount of people that didn't even know that this was going on.
I didn't, and I love boxing.
And I just want to say, like, Don King was a piece of trash, all right? But damn it, he was good at his job. Because
well, yeah, I mean, you have King and Bob Arum and those kind of guys that they were promoters. That's what they do.
You knew the fights that were going to happen. It was the talk of the town. We would be in school talking about the big fights coming up. There was a huge event like every other month, at least once a month like on Showtime or HBO Boxing. But it's just, it feels like you have to take it upon yourself to search when these fighters are going to be fighting, how to watch it.
And I agree.
I agree. We've got to do something to get that straightened out.
And boxing, for people that have listened to this show or that know me, is one of my favorite things in the world.
Right.
I love
big boxing events.
I love
so fun.
And I'm
big
not saying
boxing.
Everybody watches Stephen A., but when Stephen A. and Max were on there, they would talk about boxing. But
well, that's
Max
got his career.
But Max left the show, and now it's all freaking circled around the NBA.
Was that Friday or
and
Saturday?
And the NFL. They don't talk about
Saturday
boxing
anymore.
And locally, I think Thunder had a lot to do with that. Maybe people weren't watching.
Well,
but I agree with you
not
promoting
it. I mean, it was just on a national scale.
No, on a national scale.
When you see, like, national Twitter on, like, a Saturday night when a UFC fight's going on, it's like everything's on that UFC fight. You had to search for stuff on this fight. And I'm like, I found it like hard to believe. This was a massive fight.
It was.
And it was a major upset.
It was a great fight. And I mean, you got to see all the things that to me makes boxing so fun. And I just thought it was fantastic. Mm. And I think you're right. I hope that there is a new person coming up that can promote boxing the way that it was promoted in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
For example, do you know Tyson Fury is fighting next month?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly the biggest name in boxing right now. He's fighting next month. Yep.
Like, it's...
You say that and it's funny, and I'm purely asking this because I do not know. Do you think anything with this joke of a fight in June with Mike Tyson has something to do with that?
I don't think real boxing fans pay attention to that shit.
I'm just curious.
I have never once watched a Jake Paul, a Logan Paul. I don't even know who these Paul people are. I know there's like 40 of them. They all look alike, and they just fight washed-up dudes and get paydays.
I watch Logan Paul as a professional wrestler because he's very good at that. He's very good at that. I mean, he's actually tremendous at that. But if he was going to be, if they said he's going to fight, pick out a guy from the 90s, like Logan Paul and Pernell Whitaker. I'm not watching that.
Sweet Pea. Yeah. I ain't heard Pernell Whitaker in a while.
Well, he was my favorite boxer for a long time.
Yeah, I like Pernell.
But I'm not going to watch that. It will be a spectacle. It'll make a ton of money.
Well,
because a lot of people
exhibition rules, and I believe aren't they wearing headgear or something?
I have no idea.
Like,
I don't care.
It's just I would never spend a dime to watch any of that crap. So.
I wouldn't either. But I'm glad you brought that up, Tuna.
Would you say there's a majority of people out there that are real boxing fans, or there's a majority of people out there that are where's the spectacle? Does that make sense?
It's probably both.
I don't think there's any doubt that the majority is the spectacle.
The spectacle, yeah. That's kind of what I was getting
at. That's a real shame because boxing is a great sport, and it's been – I mean, we could do a week-long podcast about how boxing has been ruined over the last 25 years, but –
There is a really good young group of boxers coming up right now.
There are.
I think it's boxing slowly making a come up. I just don't think it has the promotions that it needs to rise.
Well, I can tell you so many times on a Thursday or Friday night, I'll be going through the clicker, through the guide, and I'll see these boxing matches on. And the first person I text always is Fred. There is big time fights going on, and we'll put them on. You might not know these guys by name, but watch them, and this is going to be great.
Well, that's
and
where you see the guys that you end up paying for in like three,
right.
4 years.
But
yeah.
you have to
that's
love
that's exactly
that,
right.
That ESPN does do that sometimes on Saturday.
They
nights.
Have always, I mean, ESPN
Lately,
to their credit,
Joe Tessitore is there
always.
See, like, I just remember like Showbox and HBO. It was like every other weekend there was an event on like HBO boxing or Showtime boxing.
You remember
Larry Merchant.
The Tuesday night fights or whatever they used to do on ESPN. Yeah. I'm going way back. That's where you got to see the guys that were really coming up.
They did
5 years
night fights for
maybe that was it.
It was Friday night fights.
Bernard Hopkins, all those guys.
Like you would see those guys. So I would implore people that care about enough about sports to listen to our show to give boxing another chance. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do some legwork to find
you
the
are,
fights.
But it is great stuff. Mm. Freddie, around the room, final thoughts.
I just wanted to let everyone know, and I did kind of hit on that Epic Ride is, I think, in the Derby, and Conquest Warrior has an injury and is out. So that is the first new horse in. And first one out, and that is going to be possibly a long line. Uncle Heavy is next. Next in, Uncle Heavy, Tuna. Uncle Heavy.
He's going to win. He's the next Giacomo.
Or the next Rich Strike.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Rich Strike got in at the last day.
Only if he bites another horse after he wins.
Don't forget, Crown, one of the Japanese horses, pushed 15 horses to the right, and that's how Rich Strike went up the rail. So we will cancel there's two Japanese horses that get in. One of them is usually good. One of them doesn't need to be there. It creates problems.
Is that it?
That's it, buddy. That's all, right. All I got for you, man.
Mr. Electricity.
I got three things. Freddie is so big and busy with Great American Ballpark being the groundskeeper and the new Thousand Island representative. I vote Country Matt Kemp for the new promoter of boxing, the new up-and-coming boxers, number one. Number two, Dundee Tavern is closing. Their last day is
it's
a local place. Their last day is Derby Day. They're going to have a big blowout. They're going to reopen. It's going to be Derby
Couldn't
City
they
Pizza,
have it on a day we're not going to be at the track?
Which is phenomenal, but I love those those
great
girls
place,
behind the bar
great
up there,
stable,
and
great
I hope
neighbor.
They all stay.
That's been a Louisville
the second
stable
best
them,
neighborhood yeah. bar in Louisville.
And the last one,
second best second coldest beer in town.
Just that's a right. Vic. Sorry about your loss.
Yes, we had a.
You lost your best friend, and I can't imagine.
Great call. Yes, we have a listener here, Vic. Lost his wife, a good friend of ours, and a listener of the podcast, Vic, prayers for you and your family, buddy.
We're going to have Vic come sit in on the show here in
yes,
the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we are.
And I just wanted to, I mean, not to bring everybody down, but I also wanted to bring up the fact that a really good friend of ours, John Fleming, passed away.
Yes.
And he and I had a lot of really nice times together, and
great golfer.
He and his wife, Kathy, were very good friends of ours and great supporters of ours. And prayers to John's family and all his friends. And we're thinking about you guys.
Right.
It was great to have everybody back tonight. Good to have you back, Tuna. I mean, we are very pleased to have you back. And
he's wearing his short shorts tonight.
Well, he had to do that.
Skies out, thighs out, baby.
He had to do that after you mentioned his Thousand Island
right.
thing the
he
other night.
Even talk about the Hungry Jack.
I don't even know what the Hungry Jack is.
Well, Hungry Jack's a TV dinner that normally has meatloaf or Salisbury steak. It has mashed potatoes.
Is Hungry Jack the Aldi's version of Hungry Man?
Maybe, okay. Yeah. And then it normally has, like, for a dessert.
You get, like an apple crisp.
Apple
or
crisp
something.
Is the dessert.
And if you know anybody that
maybe
eats
some
those
mac and
TV
cheese.
Dinners, like, message me along with the Thousand Island guys.
Well,
I lived on them back in the day.
I was going to say. Everybody ate them in 1986.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did you do before? See, you had a microwave when you were born. We didn't have that. Like, a microwave was a big deal when we got it. You could actually cook a hot dog in a microwave in 30 seconds. Yeah. You're like, dude, I'm good. I don't need nothing else. But before that, it was pot pies in the oven. Salisbury steak in the oven, you know. I mean,
I want to apologize. We can't even sign off the right way. Sorry, guys.
Hey, it was great to have everybody back tonight. Thank you all for listening.
Eat some Denny Moore like a real man.
I'm going to say this, since you mentioned that.
Denny Moore's
my dad and I talked about Denny Moore beef stew
it's legit
less
good.
Than 48 hours ago.
It's the best
I'm
thing
not
in a can
about
you can
that.
Buy.
It is good. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Hold on to that thought. We are going to talk about that on a future episode. What's the best meal you can get in a can?
Along with Spam.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for being here. For Whiteboard Jody, the big fellow, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying... So long, everybody.